We are so excited to be able to have shared this time together with you. And we're actually coming to the close on this current series. And the series is under the title Godliness. And the G-O-D stands for the goal of disciples. All disciples want to be like their master. That's the highest end for every disciple. And so for you and for me, for us, and our intent in this is that we be like Jesus. And so it's not just the goal, though, of our journey. It's actually the get to that we want to talk about today. And so we're today's subject is kind of like, how do you get there? Is there a method of operation? We know we can think like Jesus. We know we can love like Jesus. We know we can be like him and learn like him and live like the Lord Jesus. But how does that happen? What's the actual, is there any insight into the practical ends of it? How do we get there? And so that's really what we want to talk about today, is chat back and forth on the here's a good courtroom phrase for you, on the modus operandi.
Yeah.
I feel intelligent when I can say Latin phrases, but most of you know what it means, of course, because you hear it bandied about, courtroom talk and the method of operation, the MO. Is there a pathway? Is there a process? Is there a way to get all that God has intended for us that is in Christ, that's made available to us? Peter writes about it. Everything you need for life and godliness is already yours and mine as inheritors in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. How do we access that? How do we get there? How do I make use of that? How does that get from there to here? Does his way of thinking and knowing this truth begin to saturate my heart and life, my being? And so this is kind of what we're wanting to deal with today.
Yeah, you know, so oftentimes we look and we compare ourselves with ourselves. So we see someone else that we go, well, no, there's a spiritual person. There's the reverend. There's the pastor. There's the bishop. And oh, if only I could be like that. And yet we don't want to be like that. We want to be like Jesus.
Yes.
And if we're going to be like Jesus, then we should be able to look to Jesus and see his MO.
Yeah.
See his way of doing it, that we can go, okay, that's something that I can fall in line with. I can do that. I can work like Jesus worked there, because he did some incredibly amazing things that are also very practical things. These are things that every person can choose to do. And I think that for us as disciples, Jesus is always the mark. He's the one that we should be able to look to and say, I want to do what Jesus is doing. We want to think, we want to love, we want to pray, we want to be like Jesus.
Yes. Yeah. And he said it of himself. This is that I get my information from the Father. The Son's not here doing anything on his own. You get to see the product, and all you can see is the Son. But the reality is, I see the Father. I know the truth, and this truth has made me confident. It's put me in this place of ministry. And so I see what the Father's doing, and because he loves me, he chose me. And so seeing that, I then have the power to do that. Hearing what he's saying, I have the power to speak to these issues. And so the same pathway that Jesus followed, the same MO that Jesus used, is what it takes for you and me as disciples to be truly godly people. And so our goal as disciples is to be like Jesus. And so here's what he said, and this is right out of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26. It's a simple passage that probably most of you already have read, but it really does contain a prescription, a pathway, if you will, to accessing the things that God has provided. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, so if anyone wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, I'm numbering those because I think those are an incredibly important part of this. Deny himself. So there's an element of giving up. There, take up his cross. There's an element to take up. And then follow me. There's a show up piece to this whole thing as well. And we're going to take the time to unpack that today. And then he goes on to say, because anybody who wants to, whose goal is to save his life, to have his way, to preserve him, his own stuff. If you're that person, you're going to lose it. Whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. That sounds a little bit cryptic, but until you understand it, and we'll unpack this for you today, but it's just as simply understood as not having to worry about how well I live for Jesus, but how willing I am to die to myself, how willing I am to deny myself so that I can take up this instruction from the Lord. It's the same way with when we talked about thinking like Jesus last week, that if you're going to do that, you're going to have to refuse all the other lies and all the other information that's around, or you're at least going to have to make that subservient to the revelation of the truth. And so whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Because what would it profit a person to gain the whole world and forfeit his own soul? Or what could a person give in return for his soul? So the bottom line of this is that godliness is not about how well I can live to Jesus, live for Jesus, do the work. It's how willing I am to go through the process, which is a process of dying to myself, taking up the cross, and following him.
Yeah, I think that it's certainly, it's much more practical and victorious way of doing it than sin management, which everybody seems to get caught up in. If I can stop doing and minimize this, it'll elevate my spirituality. And God doesn't work that way. Right. God didn't come so you can be a better person. He came so that you might enter into the perfect person, so you can enter in and receive Jesus. And so the growing in that, in the expanding in our lives in Christ Jesus, it really does require us to deny things, to say no to some things, stripping away and letting go so you can grab on too. And of course, Paul in Philippians 2 really just touched on Jesus doing that very thing. I want to just read just part of it because he's encouraging us. He says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself.
Wow.
Yeah. Just let that sink in. He emptied himself. Even let your imagination run a little bit what Jesus actually had to empty. Because here he is I don't know any other way to say it, in all of eternity past. And he is there with the Heavenly Father in literally a perfect place where there is no sin, where there is no hurt, there is no pain, where he has, you know, thousand times a thousand angels ministering to him. And he says, I'm going to empty myself of all of that. I'm going to empty myself of everything and go be born of our own creation. I mean, that just, my mind has a hard time wrapping around that. What he gave up, what he emptied himself for, just to let that happen alone, notwithstanding the fact that he wasn't born into a king or some royalty's house. He was born in a manger. He emptied himself of every opportunity that we would say that this life should afford someone like that. Here's where a lot of people, happens with a lot of people. They're going just fine in life with the car they're driving, and they watch a commercial and someone says, here's something better. Mm-hmm. Here's what you really should be driving. And so we think that we should be afforded that. Well, Jesus never went there. He never went that direction. It was for him, it was a constant emptying and letting go of things that the world would say, hey, you need to grab onto this. The enemy said to him, you know, you need to grab onto, if you're the Son of God, you need to grab onto this. If you're the Son of God, you need to do this. If you're the Son of God, this is what you got to command your Father to do. He'll take care of it. He emptied himself all of that, yeah. Given himself fully over to the Heavenly Father. And that's a battle that each of us have to decide to do. I think it's a misconception with fasting that, you know, we actually do have control over our flesh. We can say to our flesh, you don't need that. You can live without that. And thus saying, because I'm going to force my flesh to live without that because I desire to be filled with that. Whatever that part in the relationship with the Lord, wherever we're at, we're saying, yes, God, I want more of you. I want to understand you greater. And so in many parts of our lives, we are humbling ourselves by saying, we don't need. We're emptying ourselves. We are getting rid of this exchange life, because ultimately the denying of self it's an exchange. I'm going to deny myself for this so I can have that. Tom Landry, of course, us being in the DFW, he's a great example. One of my childhood favorite coaches. And he basically, when he talked about the championships that he led the team in, he said he basically got his players to let go and get rid of everything else and do really what at first they didn't want to do, so they can ultimately get what they ultimately wanted to get. And there's a principle in saying, I'm going to let go of this so I can receive more of the Lord. And listen, I think there our flesh screams out and says, no, I want that. I desire that. I want to be comfortable. I want to have this and that. And so much of the Christianity today really says, you know, have both and. It's not either or. Yeah. But you can't love the world and love God. You're going to love one and hate the other. And there are a lot of people in religion that hate the fact that we're even here now saying you got to die to yourself.
Right.
Because they believe that God's come, that they may live the perfect life and have all the abundances that this life has to offer. And actually, Jesus came to offer everything the Father is. And that's what he's offering, that we can have all of him. And I pray that every person would really be willing to deny themselves.
Yeah, because that's there's no other way to get there.
Yeah.
You know, if you could do it on your own, then you wouldn't have to deny yourself. There would be no, you know, give up on certain things in order to take up certain things. But that's the reality. You said it pretty well, that he's not come to offer you an improved version of you. You know, you can be a little less angry. You can be a little less, mean-spirited. You can be a little less, ashamed of yourself and your sins. That's not what the Lord has come to do. The Lord has come to provide us this possibility of a total renovation, a total transformation, a total change. That's really godliness is God-likeness. It is becoming more like Christ. It is Christ in us, changing and transforming us so that there's less Rex and there's more Jesus in this. There's less Rich. There's more Jesus in what we're doing and how we're acting. And so when we think about this, this is the reality. There is some denying. I know there are Christians who you know, that's their whole idea of Christianity is, or people that are maybe just on the edge where they would give themselves to Christ, but their whole idea and concept is you just got to give up all this stuff. I got to give up all these things that I really love. Well, here's the truth. You don't really have to do this, all this giving up of the things that you really love. What will happen is if you'll deny yourself and take up the things that God has for you, you'll really love Christ. You'll really love righteousness. It's the thing that you said drives fasting. I do love food. I want this food. But I want Christ more. Or I want this character of Christ more, or some level of this patience that God gives to me. And so that's why we fast sometimes, because we just want to show the level of our devotion to Christ. So it's not what we don't do that marks us as Christians. It's what we do, how we live like Christ, the godliness that is in us. But you have to take that up. You have to find yourself in this place where God equips you. And so here's what it says of Jesus, that being he empties himself and then takes the form of a servant and is born in the likeness of men. It's you mentioned it, the whole Christmas thing, we're right on the edge of Christmas anyway. And so it always lights me up. It's a wonderful time of the year. And for all the other reasons, not because of the gifts, not because of the deco, not because of the food, it's all cool. That's wonderful. But what I love is people start thinking, at least for about a month's time, about giving, not about getting, about giving, about sharing. And it's all around this story of Christ. And we did a thing one time called the Journeys of Christmas. I just love that, these, because we think of journeys, you know, Joseph and Mary had to make the journey. The Magi made this journey. But you mentioned it, the journey that the Son of God took to be a part in the Christmas story. Wow, that's huge. That is emptying himself of all this prerogative of godness, this ability to speak worlds into being, this ultimate authority and power and truth and peace and joy and love and everything in total perfection to be what? To be fetal tissue, to be birthed into the womb of the Virgin in this poor, Galilean household. And what a journey to have to learn to speak, have to learn to read, have to learn life, to have to learn, and live in relationships with people that are your brother, but they're really not your brother. You know, they're your sister, but they're really not your sister. And I'm your mother because I am your mother, but your father is not Joseph. And so he had to learn all of these things. This is a huge, huge journey. But he does this because this is the only way. This is the will of the Father. And so being found in this fashion as a man, being taking this form of a servant, he is made into the likeness of men. This is, to me, it's this take-up part of the journey. Mm-hmm. You know, you give up certain things. You're stripped of certain things. But when you're stripped of certain, and that, there's a reality to that, because those things are unnecessary. They're not going to produce righteousness. Your anger is not going to work the righteousness of God. It's just not. Your scolding is not going to cause somebody to come to some amazing revelation of the truth. It's just not. So you might as well just give it up. Don't go there, but take up the things that God provides. So for the places where we are stripped of these things, God also intends that we be equipped mm-hmm. with the things that he brings to us. I've had this picture for years that I've tried to explain to people, because I think in pictures anyway. And so it was also why I just ramble on so many times. But people who come to God, and maybe this is you, oh God, I need this and we need more of that. And if you would just give me these things, and even many of them are ministry related, that I could have all these things that would benefit society and bring healing to people and all of that kind of thing. But we're coming before the Lord with our arms loaded with all of our own stuff, you know. And so we're asking for a better way to preach, or a better way to say something, or what, you know, just some improved version of me. And that's really not what God says. Here's what he says. We don't need an improved you. We need Jesus. What the world needs is Christ. Christ needs a body, and you and I are the body of Christ. And so what do? We deny ourselves, and we take up this mantle, this cross. We tend to think of it in terms of a crucifixion and the cross of Christ. And that's good, because you understand that. But here's the reality. Wherever the will of God is going a certain direction and your will is going another way, now you have an opportunity. In fact, not only opportunity, an instruction, an MO, a method of operating. If you really want godliness as your goal, this is the time to deny this, which way you're going, and take up this, so that you can then follow Christ. Mm. And so we give up, we take up, and then once we've done that, we just show up.
Well, and it really that really all happens as our perception of taking up the cross changes, which I love the picture that you actually showed there, because, you know, in our overly marketed world, we've made the cross a logo rather than a lifestyle. Yes. And if we would take it from a logo and make it a lifestyle, then we're going to be constantly going, okay, Lord, this is what I want to do. What do you want done? And when we ask that question, and then he says, here's what I want done. I want you to go be patient with your wife and kids. I want you to go be kind in that hard workplace. I want you to, now all of a sudden it begins to change. And yeah. And so we die to the old way, we deny that. And then we actually show up and we start working through going, Lord, at the moment, I don't want to be patient, but I'm going to bite my tongue. And then his presence comes in and he begins to help us really develop the fruit of the Spirit in our life, because we're showing up. We're not just going, yeah, I've made the decision, but not going anywhere. No, I'm going to move there. Just as Jesus got up that one morning and said, we got to go through Samaria. He didn't know what was going to take place. He goes there and he's sent his disciples off for food, and he's there by the well, and a woman shows up. And because Jesus showed up, all of a sudden, he was able to step into the will of the Father and saw that whole community changed. And this is the life of a disciple. You follow Christ, and you follow Christ into situations that you don't even know why you're going there, but you kind of just feel the necessity to stop and go into the McDonald's drive-thru or the sit-down area for some reason. You don't know why, but then after you leave, you're like, oh yeah, I could see you wanted to do something there. You step into these moments not understanding what's going to happen, but you understand who's sending you there. And when you understand who's sending you there, then you don't have to understand why he's sending you there, because no longer is it found in just self. You've already denied self. You've taken up the cross of the moment, and now you're showing up. And as you show up, things really begin to happen every day, everywhere you go, with everyone that you're around, because in these little moments of saying no to self and really going a different direction than your own will, the Heavenly Father shows up in beautiful things, amazing things. Yeah. They happen. And you actually exchange a life that is destined for hurt, pain, and destruction for a life that is full of joy, that is full of an increasing optimism and hope that ultimately gets to experience eternal life.
It is, yeah. It says in Philippians of Jesus, so, you know, he's not going to hang on to this part of this equality with God, but he's willing to empty himself. And then he takes up the mantle of manhood. He takes up this representation of humankind. He's going to live, the scripture speaks of it in these terms, as the second Adam. He's going to live as the Adam that comes, birth of God. The first Adam did everything wrong. I mean, he just acted willfully. The second Adam that comes from above acts in complete obedience to the will of the Father, to the will of the one who sent him, says of himself, I never, ever do anything on my own. I'm only doing the will of the one who sent me. So what is he doing? I'm denying myself. I'm taking up my cross. I'm following after him. And so being found in this fashion as this perfect man, he becomes obedient. Obedient. There's it is. That becomes obedient. And even to death. The obedience is what I'm sure is part of the holy hunch. You know, I get up in the morning and I got to go through Samaria. You know, what's the day going to yield? I have no idea yet. But as the day goes on, it's not just the day, it's a couple of days more, because the Lord is able to touch and impact this powerful community through the obedience of Christ. But because he obeys even to the death of the cross. And because he obeys to the death of the cross, it is God who then highly exalts him, giving him the name that's above every name, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. God conquers and does all of these things because Christ essentially gives up, takes up, and then shows up. And when he shows up, so does the Father. When you show up as a disciple, when you show up in the name of Jesus, when you show up not for yourself and your own aggrandizement, but because you're trying to live this self-denying, God-obeying, Spirit-informed life, then not only do you show up, but God shows up with you. God shows up in you. God shows up, and can I say it this way? God shows off a little bit through you. He raises his son from the dead. He exalts him to this place where every knee bows, every tongue confesses, this is the Lord of glory. I think God is waiting for the opportunities, honestly, for you and I. If we would stop running around trying to make it all happen and just deny our capacity to do that, but and then take up the equipping, the godness, the things that the Spirit provides, the word of truth, the Spirit of truth, the anointing that God wants to bring into our lives. We take up those things and we begin to live out of that. We show up as the servants of the Lord. We show up not to be the coolest person there or the most informed. We show up to serve. We show up to love. We show up to minister the grace of Christ. We show up to follow the Father's instructions and to speak the Father's word. We show up not in the name of Bethel, not in the name of faith, not in the name of some group somewhere, or even in our own names. We show up in the name and for the glory of the Lord God himself. And because we show up, he shows up.
Yeah.
You go. Here's what he said. You go. You go. Come on, you disciples, go. first part of G-O-D, the goal of disciples, is go. So when we are living in this life, he said, you go, I'm going with you. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that exciting?
That is great.
It is.
And it's our prayer that you would desire the will of the Father in all areas of your life. So let's pray to that end. Father, thank you for your goodness and giving us the pathway that, that Lord, as we deny ourselves, Lord, as we give up the things that so easy for us to hang on to grab a hold of the things that you have for us, Lord, that Lord, we would take up your will for our life, and that Lord, then we would show up so that Lord, ultimately you might show off, so that the world would know that the famous one is Jesus Christ. Oh, Lord. And Lord, as we walk in your will, we, Lord, just by the fact that we're walking in your will, make Jesus Christ more and more famous in the circle of our influence and beyond. And so thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.